Father, we worship you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was looking at these banners, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, the kings he's king of, the lords he's lord of, is you. When it says he's the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords, he's talking about believers, Christians. Praise God. You can have a seat. So, Father, we just worship you. Thank you for the complete identity change we have when we put our faith in you. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. God is good. Amen. Well, happy Resurrection Sunday. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I don't know about you, but I'm not here just to check a box. I'm here to have church. Amen. And to be changed. And I think about Resurrection Sunday, many of you as well, I'm sure at some point in your life, you had a resurrection event yourself. And for me, it happened when I was 28 years old. I was an atheist, alcoholic. My marriage was wrecked. Rebecca and I were getting a divorce. And I had a foul mouth. Every other word was a curse word with me. Had a very foul mouth. I was insomniac. I couldn't sleep at night. There were nights where I'd actually lay and watch the clock go all the way around. And Rebecca, my wife, she pretty much conned me. You could say she drugged me, got me to go to church with her. And when I went to church with her, long story short, I had an encounter with the love of God. And I'd never seen that before. I saw a body of believers that you could actually see the love of God these people had for each other. And I'd been to church when I was a teenager. And I've talked about this before, some of you have heard it, but I've been to church when I was a teenager, and there were kids there I went to school with, high school, you know, and at school they were just like me, and in church they were different. They were holy in church, and at school they were just like me, which told me, okay, this Christianity thing, it's not real, and I'm not going to be a fake. So I decided God wasn't real, Christianity wasn't real, but then that day, roughly 14 years later, when I encountered the love of God, I realized, you know what? He is real. And not only is God real, this God is real. And when you know this God is real, what are you going to do? You either accept him or reject him. So I pondered this thing because I had made a vow to myself I wasn't going to be a fake. And so it took me from Sunday when I had this encounter with the love of God, because I tell you, the love of God just blows atheism out of the water. There's no arguing with the love of God. There's just not. So it just blew my atheism out of the water. So, but then Friday night, from Sunday morning to Friday night, Rebecca had gone to some prayer meeting at church. And so I'm home alone, and God's dealing with me. So all this week, I'm drinking, I'm cussing, I'm laying awake all night because I'm an insomniac. I'm, you know, doing my thing. So, but this Friday night, I found there in Romans 10:9, where it says, if you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I did that Friday night, and I was immediately delivered from alcoholism. Yeah. I was scared because I realized I was an alcoholic. I'm thinking, it was uncontrollable. I couldn't do anything with it. But the Lord delivered me from it. Amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:17 says that if Jesus is not risen, our faith is in vain and we're still in our sins. But man, he is risen. Amen. And my testimony, if nothing else, you have testimonies as well, shows that the power of God is alive and for us today. The life-changing power of God is for us today. Amen. I was also delivered from my foul mouth immediately. It was amazing. Now I go to sleep, ever since then, really, I go to sleep in moments. My wife will think I'm faking. She'll think I just lay my head down and start snoring just to mess with her. But I'm asleep. So I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the answer. Whatever answer you're looking for today, Jesus is the answer. If you're looking for a big break, Jesus is your big break. Amen? Amen. So that's a little bit of introduction there. But praise God. I want to introduce some new members. We did a new member class this week. Thank God for new members in the body of Christ. Amen. Well, let me rephrase that. These people have been born again for a while, so they're not necessarily new members to the body of Christ, but new members to Grace Tabernacle. But thank God for new members to Grace Tabernacle. We appreciate people wanting to become a part of what's going on here at Grace Tabernacle. So that's awesome. So if these people would, I'm going to call your name. If you would stand, I think everyone's supposed to be here today. So now if I pronounce your name wrong, please forgive me. I'm a little bit English challenged, as y'all know. So James Ferrier, are you here? Right over here is James. Awesome. Thank you, James. Bob Cook, right here. Bert and Karen Hermelink. Bert and Karen, there's Karen, there's Bert, right there they are. If you'd stay standing, please. Towie Prepodlik. Again, if I pronounce your name wrong, and Mia DeKemp. Mia, there's Mia. Hey, awesome. Thank you guys for being here. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you real quick. Father, we thank you again for people that want to become a part, that want to come into unity with Grace Tabernacle, to be a part of what you're doing here, Lord. And I know you have great things for Grace Tabernacle. You've reminded me several times. You've spoken to me several times and just reminded me of it again. Now, Lord, in James, Romans chapter 1. I got so many scriptures running through my head. Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome and said, your faith is heard of around the world. They had famous faith. And Lord, I thank you that you want to, that's the testimony you want for Grace Tabernacle, that the faith of this house will be heard of around the world. And these people are coming into unity, coming into agreement. They're going to be a part of this. And Father, I thank you that people are going to say around the world, Africa, Europe, Asia, South America, Australia, they're going to say, thank God for Grace Tabernacle. And we get to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Well, again, thank you for being here today. I'm glad I'm here. I think I said it already, but happy Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is awesome. He's awesome. I think a lot of times we don't perceive just how awesome Jesus was. I know one time, not too long ago, Rebecca and I were in a mall in Atlanta, Georgia, and Carlos Santana, anybody heard of Carlos Santana? Carlos Santana was in American Eagle. I never saw Carlos, because there was probably 2,000 people trying to get into American Eagle. That's what it was like when Jesus was around.
Yeah, that's right.
The multitudes thronged him. The Bible talks about how the disciples had to keep people off of him from crushing him. There was one time when Jesus said, have a boat ready, in case he had to get into it to keep from being crushed. Amen. So Jesus, he was like a rock star. Just people thronged him. He was amazing. He did amazing things. He was the greatest leader ever. Name me another leader that started an organization 2,000 years ago that's still prospering and doing well and growing today. I can't name one. Greatest leader ever. He was a servant leader. He was God in the flesh. I'm going to go to John 18 and read a few verses here. 18, we'll start in verse 3. It says, and this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, Jesus is about to be crucified. He's here praying. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. They've come to get Jesus. Interesting. Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? And verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. Let's stop right there. Yeah. The New Testament was written in Greek. This is the New Testament we're reading. In the Greek, it just says, I am. That's interesting. Because some of y'all get it already. Moses, when he was at the burning bush, Moses said, God was commissioned him to go free the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. And Moses said, who will I say sent me? And God said, tell him I am sent you. The troops are dealing with I am here. They've never dealt with this before. I remember, just hold that scripture right there. I remember as a kid, I was watching, anybody ever like cops and robbers TV shows? Yeah, I liked those when I was a kid. Well, I was watching this one time where these robbers had taken over a bank and had a bunch of hostages in there. And the police are outside and, the robbers are threatening, we're going to start taking out these hostages if you guys don't get a car in here and let us get away, And they're going to take them out. And they didn't mean take them out to lunch. So they're going to take them out. And so the police are trying to figure out what to do. And little did the robbers know that one of the hostages was a guy named Clark Kent. Yeah. So the robbers, they didn't know what they were dealing with here. They had a whole different deal going on. Well, the troops don't know what they're dealing with here. They've got a whole different deal going on. So put that scripture back up there. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. That's who they're looking for. Jesus said to them, I am. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Verse 6. Now, when he said to them, I am he, or I am, they drew back and fell to the ground. They got hit with the power of God and got slain in the spirit, if you've ever heard of that term before. The power of God hit them. They fell out. And Jesus, he knew what was about to happen. He had to wait on to recover and get up. He could have just left. He could have just walked away. I'm going to tell you, they didn't come to the garden to get him. He went with them. They couldn't have taken him. They couldn't have taken him. You know, Jesus was fully man and he was fully God. So again, this is the whole new thing that soldiers are dealing with here. I'll remind you too, 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. There's another, and we won't look at the scripture on this one. You can write it down. I've got to move along. We got a lot to do today. Matthew 26 records these events in the Garden of Gethsemane also. And when they came to get Jesus, some of the disciples wanted to fight. They'd brought some swords. They wanted to fight. And Jesus, he stops them and says, don't you know that I could pray to my Father and he would send 12 legions of angels to help me? That's somewhere between 60 and 72,000 angels that would have came and helped Jesus. And there's a place in the Old Testament that tells us that one angel killed 185,000 of Israel's enemies in one night. So I'm going to tell you, 60 to 72,000 angels could handle the situation. All right? But here's the thought that struck me one time. This is the I Am in the garden. This is God in the flesh. The truth is, the angels could have came and taken the side of the soldiers, and they still couldn't have taken him out of that garden unless he wanted to go. And he went with them. He went. He wasn't taken. He went saying, no one takes my life from me. I give it willingly. And oh, by the way, don't pay for a tomb. Just borrow one. Amen. He knew what was coming. He went to the cross. He gave up his spirit. 3 days later, he rose again. 3 days and nights, Brother Joe. That's right. And he defeated hell and the grave. He defeated and disarmed the devil and changed everything for you and me. I mean, my life changed when I received Jesus. And our faith's not in vain because the resurrection happened. It's proof of it. The changes in lives is proof of the resurrection. Amen. And the resurrection's important. Again, it changes lives. It changes identity. It changes you. It changes me. It still changes me today. Thank God. And Jesus gave his life so our sins could be forgiven. But if for more than that, for even more than that, that's awesome. But even for more than that. So what I really want to talk about, the title of my message today is simply life. I want to talk about life. So I want to start off by saying that, you know, God is relevant. He was very relevant to me as an alcoholic atheist with a foul mouth insomniac. Whatever, hopefully your situation's not that bad. I trust that it's not. But even if it is, he's the answer for whatever situation you've got going on. He's the answer for it, amen? So God is relevant. A lot of times we think that, you know, okay, Jesus, all he paid for was the forgiveness of my sin. And that thinking tells me that really, okay, he's really not relevant until I get to the end of my life and I want to go to heaven and miss hell. That's good. I want to miss hell and go to heaven, okay? But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. There's transformation because of Jesus. Not at the end of life, but now. Yeah. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, let's talk about a person who's received Christ, they're born again, they put their faith in Jesus, they're saved. He is a new creation, something that's never existed before. A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I know that Friday night when I got born again, my wife, she woke up to a new husband the next day. Yeah, I was changed. I was different. He changes people. I'll tell you something else. God gets a bad rap. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 says we were children of wrath, who have been brought near to God. Amen. People think that God sends people to hell. That's not true. God did everything he could to get people into heaven. I mean, he came in the flesh, Jesus, and paid the price for all our sins. Every sin. This isn't in my notes, but let me jump over there. I'm going to go to Hebrews 10, verse 10. Praise God. Thank God he's risen. Hebrews 10, verse 10. Okay, it says, you can make a note of this. By that will, talking about God's will, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. Once for all, okay? Once for all sins, once for all time, once for all people. Everybody okay? Once for all. He took care of it. Jesus, 2,000 years ago on that cross, rose from the dead to put the verification on it, took care of all of our sins. If you're looking at your sins, I'm going to ask you why. He's not. Now, he wants you to come out of that. He wants us to straighten up and fly right. I sounded Australian. Did you hear that? Straighten. He wants us to straighten up and fly right, but he wants us to come out of this. Like he told the woman with the issue of, not the issue of blood, the woman caught in the act of adultery. He told her, go and sin no more. He didn't condone what she did, but he's first and foremost a savior. He saved her.
Amen.
Amen. He saved her and told her, go and sin no more. He can't help himself. He's first and foremost a savior. It's just what he does. And you know, he's not sending people to hell. He made it as easy as possible to get into heaven.
That's right.
And it all comes down to what we do with Jesus. You know, when I had that encounter with God's love, I knew when I left that Sunday, but it took me until Friday night to decide. I like that word decide. The etymology of it is the Latin decidere. It means to cut off. Decide, to decide something means to cut off. Okay, if you cut it off, that means you cut off other options. If I decide I'm going to be a Christian, then by golly, I'm going to be one. I'm not going to fake it. And we don't have to fake it. It's real. Every promise of God is yes and amen. Amen? So God is relevant now. Life. Most people have heard of eternal life, and they think that's just living forever. Eternal life, living forever. But you know already, the truth is, everyone's going to exist forever. Some will live forever, and some will die forever.
Come on.
Nobody has to die forever. Amen. Let's look at John 3:16, life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. This scripture, this is a very familiar scripture. It shows us a few things, though, that sometimes we miss. A lot of times people kind of get to the perish part and stop, which would be forgiveness of sins. Okay, so we get to the end of our life, Jesus, God becomes relevant, we want to get saved, put our faith in him so we get into heaven and miss hell, which again, that's good, but there's something else there, but have everlasting life. Have, it's a present tense possession. You can have everlasting life. Now, what does that mean? What's it mean to have everlasting life? The goal of the forgiveness of sins wasn't just to forgive sin, it was to get to something else. It was to get to this everlasting life. You ever seen a safe cracker? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe saw a movie about a safe cracker or something. Why do safe crackers crack safes? That's like a tongue twister. Why do they? Because there's something inside. The objective of cracking a safe isn't just to get the door open. The objective of cracking a safe is because there's treasure in there. If they thought, suppose you told a safe cracker, hey, I have a challenge for you. I want you to open this safe someday, and there's nothing in it, though. Well, they think, okay, someday I will. It's not a big deal right now, but if they know there's treasure in there, well, they're on it right now.
That's good.
Getting forgiveness of sins is like opening the door. Mm-hmm. Don't stop opening the door. Look inside. There's treasure in there. This everlasting life is the treasure that's inside. He's relevant now. Think about me. I couldn't stop drinking. I had to have it every day. Couldn't do it on my own. I had this foul mouth. It was just unconscious to me. I was the kind of person, if you were sitting beside me in a restaurant, you'd ask the people to move you. My marriage was a wreck. I had nowhere to turn. But I turned to him that Friday night. I turned to him and got delivered from this stuff immediately. There was treasure inside. Treasure inside. Amen. So what is eternal life? Jesus tells us, this may surprise you, it's not just living forever. Look at John 17:3. We've got to move along. This is Jesus talking. This is actually him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, and this is eternal life. So here it is, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, to know God. Now, this is talking about more than just a head knowledge. This is talking about a relationship with God, like a heart-to-heart kind of relationship with God. Amen? That's what eternal life is. Eternal life is knowing God. What does it mean to know God? Again, it's more than, oh, hey, oh, there's Bubba. I know him. It's more than that, okay? It's talking about a close relationship. Have you ever had a good friend? Somebody that got you. Maybe somebody you grew up with. Somebody you worked with or was in the military with or played on a sports team with. You know, sometimes the camaraderie develops in those kind of situations that's special and unique, and you can see that person years later and just pick right up like no time had passed. You ever had a good friend like that? Yeah, we can all relate to that. You know, in Isaiah 41:8, God calls Israel, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. He said Abraham was his friend. And then in James 2:23, it says Abraham was a friend of God. Who else is a friend of God? Let's look at John 15:13 right here, something else Jesus said. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, Jesus said that. Is there anybody in here that he laid down his life for? Yes. Is there anybody in here? Every hand ought to go up on this one. He laid down his life for you. Hello, friend. Hello, friend. What is a friend? A friendship is a reciprocal relationship between two people who share a bond of mutual affections. Friends can be described as those who know and understand each other. You know, God gets you. Hey, man, nobody else might get you. You ever thought that? Man, nobody, they just don't understand me. Maybe your spouse doesn't get you, but God gets you. And he likes you anyway. That's good news. Yeah, hallelujah. Friends like each other. You know, God loves you and likes you just like you are. He loved you enough. He loved, okay, let me talk about me. I won't talk about it. He loved me enough as an alcoholic, atheist, foul-mouthed insomniac with a wrecked marriage to pay the price for my sins. If he liked me that much then, how much now? How much more now? He is absolutely nuts about you. God, he likes you. He loves you. Friends have shared interests. He cares about the things you care about, big and little. I said this in here one time. It's like I go to the grocery store to buy like peanut butter or toothpaste. I'm overwhelmed. I need God's help to do that. I mean, you know, 3D white. What is that anyway? I don't even know. I don't know what that is. Friends want to spend time together. I had a good friend of mine from my childhood text me during service. I did not text him back. Just saying, Happy Easter. Friends want to spend time together. You know, Jesus said he'd never leave you or forsake you. He wants to spend time with you. Friends help each other. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Maybe you've had a rough morning, rough weekend, rough life. I don't know. But he's a very present help in time of trouble. That's awesome, isn't it? You know, in the Bible, life would be defined as relationship with God. So in the context of talking about life, I'm talking about relationship. That's what life is. Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know God and Jesus Christ he sent. Life is relationship with God. Death is separation from God. Death is separation from God. In the book of Jude, Jude calls the place that, you know, unbelievers go, he refers to it as blackest darkness. Separation from God. I don't want to be separated from God ever. Amen. We think life and death revolves around what happens to this body. It's more than that. It's more than that. Life is related to relationship with God, and death is separation from Him. God wants you to know Him. Man, if you want to know Him, He wants to be known. He's all in. He wants to be your friend. I'm going to tell you something that I think it's kind of hard to wrap your brain about, wrap your brain around, I should say, but easy to experience. When you're born again, your spirit comes alive to God. Okay? And the word, like this word right here, and you could look on your device. You know, I've got an iPad up here. Wherever you look at it, you can look at the word in this book. It looks just like words on a page. Okay? But somehow, this word is different. There's power in this word. There's life in this word. And when I read this word, God speaks to my heart, speaks to your heart. Even more so if you're receiving, if you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But God speaks to your heart. And He says things like this: I'm committed to you when no one else is. He assures you of these things through the Word. He reveals to you who He is. He says, this is what I have for you: healing, provision, deliverance from oppression, depression, from feeling purposeless, useless, defeated. You ever felt like that? From fear, worry, sleeplessness, inferiority. He says, I have peace. I have a purpose for you. You've maybe wondered, is this all there is? Is this it? You ever wondered that? Maybe you think, I moved to the villages for this. But it's this. He says, nope, this isn't it. I've given you gifts. I've got a calling on your life. You know you have a calling. You have gifts. Every one of you in here does. You've got gifts and a calling. Amen. So He says, I've given you gifts and a calling, and they're still there for you to walk in. Romans 11:29, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. He tells you, I haven't taken anything back. I haven't turned my back. That's good news. The deal is still on. I don't have a slide for this next verse. I didn't want to ambush the media team last minute. But I'm going to read it to you. It's Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Classic Version. And I'm going to personalize it to you. Listen to this. Again, Ephesians 2:10, Amplified Classic. For you are God's own handiwork, His workmanship. That's pretty good. That's better than a Leonardo da Vinci painting. It is. Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that you may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand. Because He predestined them doesn't mean it's automatic. We have to cooperate. I don't want to teach on predestination, but there you go. Which He predestined, planned beforehand for you, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that you should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for you to live. God's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. And that's revealed to us in relationship with Him. I don't know about you, but I want relationship with God. And again, that deal, that vision that God has for your life is still there for you. He hasn't changed His mind. Malachi 3:6 and other places say things like, I am the Lord, I change not. James chapter 1 says there's no shadow of turning in Him. He hasn't changed His mind. And I want to know God. Actually, I want to know Him. Amen. I want His plan for my life. I tried my plan for my life. I told you what that was like. Didn't work very good. I want His plan. Amen? So God is relevant. There's benefits now. There's treasure in the safe now. Salvation cracks the safe, putting your faith in Jesus, but there's more in there. So don't stop just the forgiveness of sins. That's awesome. I'm not trying to downplay that. That's awesome. It's amazing. But man, there's more. God wants to be your friend. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to speak to you heart to heart. He wants to change your life. He wants to show you his purpose. He wants you to live the good life he has for you. And the deal is still on. You might think, well, I did this. He ain't looking at that. You might think, well, I didn't do that. He's not looking at that either. He said, my gift and my call in your life are irrevocable. That's good news. Thank God. Jesus made it easy to get into a relationship with him. Amen. Jesus made it easy. I heard a story one time. This pastor's wife told it. Her and her husband pastor a church in South Carolina. And this is the story she told, and I'll make it short, but it's an amazing story. She said that she was born again from a very early age, and she was a very committed Christian all of her life. And because of that, in high school, she was persecuted. You know, sometimes there'll be persecution when you're... So she was persecuted, not by everyone, but by some people. And there was one girl in particular that just persecuted her relentlessly. And this girl happened to be a Satan worshiper. And she was pretty open, just like Tracy was open about her worship of God, she was pretty open about her worship of Satan. And this girl tormented Tracy daily. And Tracy said, you know, one day she'd had a particularly bad day at school. So she was just living her life out in front of these people, you know. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi said to preach at all times, and if you have to, use words. Pretty good advice. Anyway, she's just living her life out in front of these people, and I'm sure she was vocal as well, but one day after school, she'd had a particularly bad day. This girl comes to her and kind of says, hey, I want to know more about this Jesus you've been talking about. And Tracy says, I've had a bad day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Goes home. I heard the moans. That evening, this girl gets hit by a truck. Killed. Tracy's tormented. She said for 30 days, she's just, oh my, she heard the news. She said, oh my God, I failed. I failed you. I didn't witness to her when I had a chance. She wanted to know. Oh my gosh. You know, she couldn't sleep. Like for her grades dropped. She was just tormented. And just, she lost weight, circles under her eyes, her parents are thinking, what's wrong? You know, all this kind of stuff. So 30 days go by. She's just tormented by this. And like, I think it was 30 days to the day, one night, I guess she dozes off from absolute exhaustion. And she has this dream. And she's sitting in her school cafeteria. And it's obviously her school cafeteria, but it's pristine. It's like everything's brand new on steroids. It's just immaculate, pristine. And she's sitting there, she's thinking, it's very realistic, very lucid dream. She's thinking, what is this? What's going on here? She's looking around, right? What's going on? And she's sitting there trying to figure out what's going on, and the cafeteria door opens, and in walks this girl. She's dressed all in white. And she comes up to Tracy, and Tracy looks at her and says, what are you doing here? And the girl tells her, I want to tell you that the Father has sent me to tell you that when I told you I wanted to know more about Jesus, I knew at that moment that he was raised from the dead, and I put my faith in him as my Lord. And I'm with him. And the Father wants you to know, stop beating yourself over this. You did your job. Hallelujah. Praise God. Most of us would do like Tracy and write her off as a lost cause. I'm telling you, Jesus came to get people into heaven, not keep them out. Now, we do need to put our faith in him. But it's not a hard thing. He made it easy. We complicate these things in our minds. Look at Romans 10:9. I mentioned this earlier. Romans 10:9. That if you confess your mouth, the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? Okay, I want to take a minute right now and I want to do something. There may be people here. And we're going to receive communion after this. So I just want to take a few minutes and do this here. But there may be people here that you're not sure if something happened to you today, if you'd go to heaven or not. I mean, God forbid, you're not sure what your destination would be. we can deal with that here today. It's easy. It's easy. Or maybe you're here and you think, you know, really I need to recommit myself to the Lord. I'd like to do that. So I just want to give an invitation. If either one of those applies to you, I just want to ask you to be bold and stand up. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. If that's either one of you, either one of those, anybody, anywhere, be bold. Don't be shy. I'm going to wait just a minute. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sir. Got some people standing. Thank you, Jesus. Again, if you've never, if you're not certain, or if you want to rededicate it, recommit. Amen. I'll tell you what, do this. Look at the person beside of you and tell them, you know what, if you want to stand up, I'll stand with you. If you want to stand up, I'll stand with you. If anybody wants to stand up, I'll stand with you. Look around. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So if you know you ought to be standing up, go ahead. Thank you, sir. I mean, like I said, I told you my story. I'm sure you're a lot better off than I was. Might be better off than I am. I don't know. God loves you. He's for you. He wants to be your friend. Again, if anybody wants to stand, please do. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you what, let's all pray this prayer together. If you would just repeat after me. Jesus, thank you for forgiving my sin. I confess that you are my Lord and my Savior. I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. By faith in your word, I receive salvation now. I dedicate or rededicate myself now. I want to be your friend. Thank you for saving me. Welcome to eternal life, folks. Thank you, Lord. Y'all can have a seat. Welcome to friendship with God. Get to know Him. Whether today is the start of it for you or it began 80 years ago, there's more to know about Him. I'm still learning. I don't know it all. I tell people, you know, listen to what I say and do like the Bereans in the book of Acts. Go search the scriptures to see if these things that you heard are so. Search the scriptures. I'm going to tell you a couple of practical ways to get to know God. Then we're going to receive communion. Can I get a communion or some right there? I'll come grab one. Some practical ways to get to know God. One is read the Bible. Thank you. Thanks, Carol. Read the Bible or listen to it. You can get an audible version of the Bible. I encourage you to start in the New Testament. You know, we're in the New Covenant, which is the New Testament. That's our covenant. So start there. Think on what you read or hear. Think on it. Let God speak to your heart with it. And then pray. Talk to God. You know, pray doesn't have to be something we do on our knees. You can do it on your knees. You can do it any whatever. But, you know, believe it or not, I've been praying since I've been up here talking to you. Saying, God, what do you want me to say next, you know? I've been praying since I've been talking to you. So read the Bible, New Covenant, especially New Testament. Starts in Matthew and goes through Revelation. I remember when I got baptized the Holy Spirit, I'd gotten born again, and the Bible made more sense, but the book of Revelation was just kind of like, you know, couldn't quite comprehend that one. Then I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and first thing I did is went home and popped my Bible open to the book of Revelation, and it made sense. The Holy Spirit, it illuminates the Word to you. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. And then also, like I said, pray. Just talk to God. And when you're talking to God, don't just talk. Listen. Yeah. Sometimes you get more, well, probably not sometimes. Most of the time you get more listening than talking. Amen. So we're going to receive communion. Did everybody get one of these? If you didn't get one of these, raise your hand. We've got some ushers that are going to get one to you. If you didn't get a little cup thing, Alice didn't get one right here. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. There's a gentleman over there. There's a lady right here. Some people didn't get them. Right here's a lady that didn't get one. Raise your hand up, ma'am. I don't think they see your hand. Right, yeah, right there. There you go. Yeah, communion is an awesome thing to do. And I thank God for these people that got born again and rededicated themselves, because communion is something that Jesus did with his disciples, people that believed in him. Amen. I think, yeah, and it's in Luke's account. Now, again, we read earlier where Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. And when he ate the Passover meal, when he did the Lord's Supper with his disciples, he told them how earnestly he had desired to eat this meal with them. He knows what's coming tomorrow. Still, he earnestly desired, because he was instituting the new covenant. He was bringing, he was cracking the safe. He was opening the door, bringing you and me into relationship with the Father, bringing you and me into friendship with God, and all the benefits that that gives us. All the benefits. There is a benefits package. I talk about it sometimes. I have something I call a salvation ball, and on that ball, it's one package, it's one ball, but it's got healing written on it. It's got deliverance written on it. It's got provision written on it. It's got forgiveness written on it. All that's included in what Jesus did for us. All that's included. Amen. So has everybody got one of these now? Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But this is powerful when we think about and understand what we're doing. So I'm going to read some verses to you. We got a few minutes here before 11:30, so just receive this. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. You know, when one of the people closest to Jesus in his life betrayed him, he kept with God's program. God will give you the strength to do the same kind of thing. Even in the face of adversity, you'll be able to accomplish what God has called you to do. Amen. And it says in verse 24, now we're going to read this, then we'll come back and do it. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, broke the bread, said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. A lot of us have been taught, when we do communion or the Lord's Supper, to examine ourselves for sins and flaws. Jesus said to do this in remembrance of him, not your problems. Remember what he did. Remember the price he paid on that cross for you. Think about that. It's the wrong question to ask, am I deserving of heaven? The right question is, Jesus deserving of heaven? If the answer to that question is yes, then so am I, because I'm in him. Amen. My faith's in him. Man, God loves you. See how easy he made it? Jesus is so easy to receive from. Man, just receive from him right now. In the same manner, he also took the cup after. Well, let me talk about that a little bit more. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Why was his body broken? So your body can be whole. You know, healing is still for today. We'll see a scripture that absolutely confirms that in just a minute. Healing belongs to you today. And not just your physical body, but this extends to your I'm going to do a teaching just on communion sometime. It extends to your natural circumstances. Amen? It extends to that. This promise does. Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This was the forgiveness of sins. His blood was shed for us, cracking the safe, putting us in relationship. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Again, he's not calling out your faults and saying, you slimy thing, you. You better be glad I'm doing this. No. He said, I have earnestly desired to eat this meal with you. He'd say the same thing today. In fact, he is. He loves you. He's all in. You know, I just thought of this. When Jesus was resurrected, we'll get back in a minute, y'all. Everybody's okay. When Jesus was resurrected, Mary found him in the garden, and initially she didn't recognize him, remember? You remember what Jesus told her? He said, go to my brothers. He took them. He didn't put them beneath him. He put them right beside of him. Go to my brothers. Tell them I'm going to my God and their God, to my Father and their Father. He put us right beside of him in that. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. We've been transformed. We need to realize the transformation has taken place. You know, I have nothing against Alcoholics Anonymous. They're helping people. But they would tell me, you're still an alcoholic. I would tell you, I'm not. So this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now look at this, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. He's not dead. So what are we proclaiming? That what he paid for in his death, burial, and resurrection is still ours today. So if we see Jesus healing people, if we see Jesus prospering businesses, if we see Jesus helping people, delivering people, saving people, casting demons out, anything we see him doing is still for us today. We proclaim, they got it. No, that's not it. I'm sorry, I thought the scripture was up there. I've seen the scripture back here, sorry. We proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It's still for us today. Amen. It's still for you today. Therefore, verse 27, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What's that mean? Does that mean I'm unworthy? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about not understanding what this juice stands for, what this bread stands for. His body broken for you, his blood shed to forgive your sins, to crack the safe, to put you in relationship with God. That's what he's talking about. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body. And he tells you right there what it's about, the body and the blood of the Lord. I don't want to be guilty of the body. I want to understand what his blood was shed for, what his body was broken for. This is a powerful meal. We're remembering what belongs to us. And when we receive together, we're going to release our faith. And you're going to see healing in your body. You're going to see natural circumstances change. And you're going to have greater peace, greater relationship with God. Amen. He goes on in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What's that mean? Okay, I need to find my imperfections. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't look at your imperfections. I've got them, you've got them. He's not looking at that. He's saying, examine yourself. Have you got symptoms in your body? Yeah. I've got this pain here, that going on there, a little cramp over here. Whatever it is, that's what he's talking about. Examine yourself, and we remember, okay, his body was broken for the healing of that. I've got this situation over here in my business, this situation over here in my circumstances that shouldn't be like it is. It ought to be lined up with the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. Verse 29, for he who eats the bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That's what he wants us to look at. What's not lining up in our lives with the scripture, with the promises? And he goes on and says, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. We're not going to be weak. We're not going to be sick. We're not going to sleep, which means die early. Not going to do it. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Praise God. So, let's go back here to verse 24. When he had given thanks, so if you've got that little cellophane thing, you can pull that back, take out that little piece of bread. He broke it. I like to break mine between my fingers. And said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, we thank you for your body broken for us. And as we eat this bread, we remember what you did, that your body was broken for the healing of my body, for the alignment of my circumstances with your promises, even for the alignment of us as the body of Christ here at Grace Tabernacle with your word. Even for that, we release our faith for these things as we eat in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Okay, next, if you pull that little tab up, there's that piece of like some kind of foil or something there. Pull that back, crack the safe, and the juice is in there. I've got some on me. I don't want to touch my white shirt, so Is it okay if I lick my fingers up here? Because sure enough, Rebecca will say, you got juice on you. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus, we remember. Your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. But Lord, it doesn't stop there. We know that. We know it doesn't stop there. Your word tells us that it was for the purpose of everlasting, of eternal life, which begins now, not when we die and go to heaven. Eternal life begins now, the moment we receive you. Thank you, Father, for relationship, friendship with God, for his purpose, his direction, his love in our lives, his help, his companionship, the fact that he gets me, he gets us, he gets you. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for peace, deliverance from depression and oppression and whatever. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. We remember, we release our faith for these things as well right now in the name of Jesus. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. Let's just praise God for a minute. Father, we love you. Thank you, Father, for your love for us, your awesome love for us. Thank you for Jesus who rose from the dead. Thank you, Lord. It's real. It really belongs to me. I have relationship with him. We have relationship with him. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for friendship with you, Father. Hallelujah. We're not strangers. We are accepted among the beloved. Thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes I like to tell people this. Ephesians 1:6 says that we are accepted among the beloved. I picture it like this. If y'all could go ahead and pass your little cups in, these guys will receive them. That way they won't be standing here looking at me. But Ephesians 1:6 says you're accepted among the beloved. What does that mean? I picture it like this. If you walked into a room and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit were kind of huddled up like this talking, they wouldn't look at you and huddle a little tighter. That's not what they would do, is open up the circle and motion you on in. You're accepted among the beloved. Amen. God loves you. He absolutely accepts you. He's all in. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just received communion. We've released our faith for healing and for natural circumstances to align. I just speak healing to bodies right now in Jesus' name. I speak healing to joints. I believe there's somebody, you've got a neck issue going on, and I'm just speaking healing to your neck. You've had some trouble. I don't know, maybe you slept wrong or something. Had a crick in your neck. I've had those before. Those are no fun. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for healing in that situation, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for it. I feel like somebody's just got some abdominal issues going on. I speak healing to that in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I speak to joints. I speak strength to legs right now in the name of Jesus. Strength to joints, restoration of cartilage in people's bodies. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I just release the power of God right now to accomplish what we're saying. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, you're good. Thank you, Father. Father, I speak to businesses to prosper. I've seen businesses turned around from bankruptcy to abundance in just a few days. Man, if you want your business, if you need turnaround, I just speak that same turnaround to you in the name of Jesus. I speak promotions in jobs. I think, yeah, there are some people visiting because it's Easter, but I speak promotion in your job in Jesus' name. There's somebody here, your talents at your job have been overlooked. In fact, it seems to me like somebody's kind of sat on you and kept you in a position because they know if you leave that position, their department's not going to do as well. That's about to change. You're about to be recognized and promoted in Jesus' name. And that may be more than one person, okay? So if that's you, just take it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. Father, we love you. We magnify you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. There's somebody here wondering where your child is. God knows. He wants me to tell you, he knows. He's looking out for him. Thank him. Let go of the worry. Thank him and let go of the worry. Thank you, Lord, that you're looking out for that child. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. We love you, Lord. Y'all can stand, please. Happy Resurrection Day. The power of God is for you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is good.